He should be here by now. I wonder what's keeping him.
Who's coming, Daddy? Santa Claus.
No, Dougie. Santa will be here later tonight after you're asleep.
Then who?
Well, Dad invited Professor Frank Ballard to be with us for our Christmas Eve radio program.
Who's that?
Well, Susie, he's a famous puppeteer. Four of his puppets are on display in Paris, France right now.
What is he going to talk about? Santa Claus.
No. We're going to talk about puppets and marionettes and Christmas.
Oh, there's the doorbell. That must be Professor Ballard now.
I'll get it. I'm coming!
Christmas Eve, 1975, a night filled with joy and hope, with love and memories. It's a night for children, and for those who know how to become children again, at least for a little while. Good evening, this is Dick Bertel, and my family and I feel privileged to be able to share this evening with all of you once again.
Let's start the story of marionettes and Christmas, Daddy.
In a few minutes, Susan, I want to remind everyone that the first half hour of our program is brought to you with the good wishes of all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
How about some music to get us in the spirit first?
Well, that sounds like a good idea, Jim.
Each day is a little bit brighter. Each care is a little bit lighter. You feel the glow and then you know it's Christmas once again. Each face wears a smile of contentment. And gone is a note of resentment. It's like a spell and you can tell it's Christmas once again. For this is the season when faith is born anew. This is the reason that love will see us through. Our friends are a little bit nearer. Our kids are a little bit dearer. That great big feeling in your heart gets even bigger when
That was great. Well, in just a moment, we'll let our listeners meet our guest, Professor Frank Ballard of the University of Connecticut. But first, this message from Mr. William E. Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
For one day, one night each year, there is a spellbinding aura of peace surrounding the earth. It is this time, fixed on every calendar, to which we look forward with wide-eyed anticipation, with an eagerness and preparation. It is a time of Christmas. Each of us will share in the celebration of his kindness and guidance. Let us think joyfully of his birth and carry the wonder of Christmas with us throughout the year, the meaning behind the symbolic giving of gifts, and join in the giving of brotherly love day to day. On behalf of the entire staff at Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, my sincerest and heartfelt wishes for a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Buds, and we're delighted to be able to share this Christmas once more with all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, 90 Pearl Street, 2039 Broad Street, and 400 New Park Avenue in Hartford, and at 55 South Main Street in West Hartford.
Daddy, can we please hear about puppets and marionettes?
Of course, Susan.
Are marionettes connected in any direct way with Christmas, Professor Ballard?
Well, Darcy, according to legend, marionettes got their start and their name at Christmas time. We think that St. Francis of Assisi in France used the first marionette, carved it himself, strung it up with strings, to illustrate the Nativity to the poor masses who could not understand the Latin of the Catholic Mass. And he felt that to illustrate the Mass by moving figures rather than by actors, the ignorant people of the parish, the people that couldn't read or write at that time, would be able to follow the scriptures. And so the first thing that he did was the story of the Nativity with little marionette figures and called them marionettes, or Little Mary after the Virgin Mary. And the name has stuck ever since, Little Mary.
I assume there are many Christmas celebrations using puppets and marionettes in many countries, one of which I understand is Poland.
Yes, Poland has a tradition going back to the Middle Ages. It's a tradition of the Swapska, which it means manger or manger scene, and is a very intricately carved, animated nativity scene. Some of the Swapskas are as much as 5 feet high. Most of them are in the form of a cathedral, a Polish church. Many of them have several layers, several heights on them. Some of them have lighted windows with candles in them. And figures, some of them representing the family that carves and makes the figures, as well as the nativity figures. And it was by tradition that the Polish families each had their own, each unique in its own fashion, would carve into it one new figure each year, a figure of the newborn baby of the family or a figure of a friend that they had made that year, so that sometimes over the generations the figures would reach several dozen, including, of course, the nativity figures, which would always form the basis of the Swapska. There is also a museum, I understand, in Krakow, Poland, where the Swapskas over the years have been stored. They have become a national shrine, a national tradition.
God rest you merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father,
comes this rush of winds afar, following straight the Noel star. Birds from the woods in wondrous flight, Bethlehem seek this holy
ever celebrated in Russia using marionettes or puppets?
In Russia, Jimmy, it's called the Bertep, and it's a Ukrainian custom. It's very much like the Swapska in some ways, but Bertep means Bethlehem, again relating to the nativity city. And Bertep is in the form of a Russian cathedral with gold domes and stained glass windows and all of the trimmings, usually in three layers, representing heaven and earth and hell, with the animated figures operated from slots in each of the three levels by the priests or the members of the family. And it was a tradition on Christmas Eve in old Ukraine to bring out the Bertep, to have music performed by the family, or indeed in the church itself in front of the altar, and the priests or the members of the family would move the Bertep figures, showing first the procession of the wise men to the manger, and then the procession of the other figures that were added to the Bertep, very much like the Poles added figures each year to the Swapska.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of claim the early morn, and children pure and happy await the break of dawn, while charity stands watching and faith holds wide the door. The dark night wakes, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more.
The story of the birth of the baby Jesus in Bethlehem and the three wise men who followed the star. Are puppets or marionettes ever used to tell the story here in America?
Susie, the Nativity has been presented over and over again over the years by almost every puppeteer, good, bad, or indifferent in talent. It's used in schools around the country, it's used in churches, it's used by professional and amateur puppeteers. In fact, I just saw a performance this past summer at the National Convention of the Puppeteers of America of the Nativity, which was brought out in the summer, although it's usually played during the winter months, and we rather celebrated Christmas in hot St. Louis this past summer.
Frank, I would assume that the Nutcracker Suite is very often performed as a puppet or marionette show.
The Nutcracker Suite is a natural for puppets, especially for marionettes, because of the likeness to ballet and the ability of marionettes to jump and leap and fly through the air. And of course, the Nutcracker story itself, with or without music, has been done for many, many years by puppeteers, not only in this country, but puppeteers in Europe as well. There's a very famous production of the Nutcracker done by the Salzburg Marionettes in Austria, which when they toured this country, they performed it for children's audiences because they are so well known for it. And it's perfectly lavish and perfectly beautiful.
How many puppeteers are involved in a full-fledged production such as the Nutcracker Suite?
Very often at least 10 or 12, and it can be upward to 20 some odd, depending upon the size of the company and the number of puppets that are on the stage at the same time. The Salzburg company has about 12 puppeteers in its Nutcracker.
How long does it take to rehearse for such a production?
Usually at least a year, and of course it takes at least that long also to build a production, because the figures are so intricate in their mechanism. And the controls take a good long time to figure out, because each puppet has to do a different type of action, so there has to be a different type of control for that particular action.
I assume that there is a coordination problem in just moving the puppeteers around, is there?
There is indeed. Usually when we block a show here at the University of Connecticut, we have a four-week period just blocking the puppeteers in the role of that the puppets will take, so that they will get used to what their puppets do. Then they get their puppets, and then they have to be blocked in relationship to one another and to the puppet, because sometimes the puppeteers will find that they are operating backwards or upside down in regard to what the puppet is doing. So there are two distinct patterns which they have to memorize, the puppet's pattern on the stage and their own pattern on the bridges or in the slots underneath the stage.
Voices of the puppets as well as they operate them?
Yes, indeed. The best type of puppet manipulation comes when the puppeteer does the voice and it is not recorded. And usually he has to go through a range of voices, and the larger his range, the better chance of his being cast in a number of roles. But always the favorite, I think, with all the males and the females, is a witch or a sorceress or a wicked villain.
Well, you know, I'm thinking particularly of Hansel and Gretel, because that's a Christmas time tradition, having been written by the composer Engelbert Humperdinck, and I believe written for his children.
Yes, that's as I understand what happened. He presented it in his home for the first time on Christmas Eve, and it became almost a traditional Christmas opera ever since, and of course it's become a great favorite with puppets. I think, looking back over the number of puppet shows I've done myself, that was the one that I've had the most performances. We wore out three different sets of Humperdinck's Hansel and Gretel over the years I've been performing.
Can you do the voice of the witch for us?
I haven't done it for years, but we'll try. As I recall, her name is Rosina Dainty Mouth, and loves little children so tender to eat. And I forget how the rest of it goes, but she sings a song to that effect.
Ding dong, merry ding dong, high in heaven, the bells are ringing. Ding dong, merry in the sky is ringing with angels singing.
Oh!
now, once again, here is Mr. William E. Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
In a short while, we will be celebrating Christmas. During these few hours, let us take time to reflect upon the true meaning of our celebration and the miracle of the birth of Christ. It is a time for reverence and quiet introspection, and a time to share the joy felt within us. We at Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company would like to wish you joy and happiness at Christmas and throughout the coming year, and hope you will give thought toward befriending the friendless, assisting the less fortunate, and strengthening the good in all men. A very Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you, Mr. Buds. This portion of our program has been brought to you with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Our guest tonight is the well-known puppeteer from the University of Connecticut, Professor Frank Ballard.
Is there any relationship between puppetry and religion in general?
Yes. As far as we know, puppetry developed from man's attempt to communicate with his gods and to find a place for himself in the universe. And like all of the arts, it began with primitive rituals that mankind developed with masks and dance and storytelling and pantomime. And as I understand it, and at least we theorize, the masks were carved in what man thought was the image of his gods, and of course they were always a stylized image of man himself. So the basic idea of a puppet being a stylized human or an animal came about. And then as he tried to find a more unique communication with his god, since the masks did not move as his own features did, he began to articulate the features with moving mouths and moving eyes, and finally adding torsos and arms and legs, which would dangle around his head as he wore this mask. And of course it became only a matter of time before he added mechanical means of moving the mask itself, with strings first to create a crude marionette, or with rods, sticks on the arms and legs to create a very crude rod puppet.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Run.
Do you find that children are able to relate to puppets and marionettes, Professor Ballard?
Yes, I do, and I find that adults do too, in spite of the fact they hate to admit it a lot of times. But a children's audience, in spite of what everybody thinks, is the hardest audience to play to. It's much easier to fool an adult than it is to fool a child. And the greatest thing that a puppeteer can do is not to talk down to a child, but to approach him on his own level.
It's Christmas, Christmas. Hear the bells, silver bells. Hear the bells, silver bells. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner
bears moving in a store window one. Are these puppets?
Not really. They're a hybrid form of puppet, but of course they are built very much like puppets, from the casting in clay and plaster and paper mache to the mechanized joints. The joints are very much done like puppet joints. The only thing is that the store window displays are operated by electronic motors, and the puppets are operated by human form, rods or strings.
I've seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on TV. Is Rudolph a puppet?
Rudolph Susie is made like a puppet. It's a type of stop-action puppet in which the figure is jointed It's cast, it's molded again like the store window displays, very much like a puppet. The only thing is that the camera takes a frame of film and then hands unseen off the camera move it inch by inch, and the camera goes on and takes another frame. So by the time all of the film is running, it looks like the thing is moving of its own accord. But many puppeteers have made puppet films this way, not doing the manipulation themselves, but actually doing stop action. You can get a little more precise action, a little more detailed type of setting with this kind of animation, but it takes forever and a day, years sometimes, to do a full-length film because it's so slow.
Well, it's just about time to say goodnight. My thanks to Professor Frank Ballard of the University of Connecticut for being our guest tonight. You know, Frank, if we were to assume that the Beast of Beauty and the Beast and the Witch from Hansel and Gretel and Santa Claus were here, how would they wish our listeners season's greetings?
Well, it might be something like this. We'll start out with Santa Claus saying, "Merry Christmas, ho, 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 ho," and the Beast saying, "And a happy new year," and the witch from Hansel and Gretel saying, "And all you children eat your gingerbread cookies."
Well, let's wish our listeners a Merry Christmas as we say goodnight. Dougie?
Merry Christmas.
Susan?
Merry Christmas.
Jimmy?
Best wishes of the season, everyone.
Darcy?
And a very happy new year to all of you.
And this is Dick Bertel wishing the very best of this holiday season to each and every one of you. From our house to your house.